Hello, my name is Reverend Seth Nelson, and I am the pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Ronan, Montana. Join in weekly to hear the good news of God's love proclaimed over your life. You can follow us on Podbean and iTunes. God bless you this day. Our gospel lesson for this week is Matthew 13, chapter 24 through 30, and 36 through 43. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat, and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." The slave said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he replied, "No, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, 'Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples approached him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field." He answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and evildoers. And they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the glorious righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen." Here ends our gospel lesson.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The parable from our gospel passage for this week lays out a pretty straightforward story of how salvation and damnation play out in the kingdom of God. Or at least it seems clear at first read. The Son of Man, Jesus, is the sower who plants good seed in the soil to produce the desired grain at harvest time. In the middle of the night, the evil one, who we typically describe and the text does as well, as the devil or Satan, the one opposed to the will of the sower, comes to plant weeds all around the desired wheat that the planter sought to harvest. The next day, the laborers awoke to find the weeds and asked the planter, presumably the owner of the field, if the weeds should be pulled up to let the grains flourish unimpeded. The planter refuses for fear that the grain will be uprooted in the process, and instead orders them to wait until the final harvest, when everything will be pulled up together, the grain saved and the weeds destroyed by fire. His parable shows how God allows for good and evil to grow and live side by side in this world, until the day in the future when Christ will return, and evildoers will finally be separated from those who will be saved, to live on in the kingdom of God forever. This story is about the best news possible if one finds themselves to be a part of the good grain that is saved, while at the same time the bleakest thing that one in the weeds category could hope to hear from the Son of God. It is good news for those on the grain side, because they will no longer need to fear the violence, deceit, diseases, and sinful intentions of those who are considered weeds in this world. The sinful intentions sown in the hearts of the worst sinners around us by the evil one will forever be separated and kept from the wheat, quote unquote, who will not have to fear for the well-being of their children and grandchildren, friends and family, anymore. At the same time, this story provides a devastating view of what is planned in God's future for those who will face the fires at the final harvest. In order to protect the good, the evil will perish. The parable is certainly good news for the wheat, while spelling out doom and gloom for the weeds. Once again, I think a lot of people read this parable in a pretty straightforward way. The good guys get rewarded, and the bad guys be damned. What's more, a lot of us have real experience with trying to separate good people from bad. For instance, I want my children to be kind and treat others well in preschool and daycare, no matter what their classmates and friends might say or do in return. However, I will do what I can to separate my kids from houses with drug use, a violent and aggressive behavior, and other things that might harm them. I don't do this to treat other people like weeds, but rather to protect my children from bad influences and experiences that might cause them harm. I expect that most of us, in one way or another, at various points in our lives, have tried to separate ourselves from people or experiences that might be harmful to us or to our families. So again, our lived experiences of trying to separate ourselves or those we love from bad actors and harmful situations seems to make this parable pretty straightforward to most of us. Where I have seen this parable of our Lord get rather fuzzy, though, is when we, the finite, limited creatures that we are, start to think that we know who among us is the wheat and who are the weeds. Many of us seem to get lured into the trap of thinking that we are the wheat, on the side of the good, and any of those we see as different are the weeds who will one day be dealt with by holy fire. Sadly, for instance, there's a long embedded history within the church of teaching that this difference falls along racial lines, believing white skin to be a sign of God's favor, and black skin a sign of a person descended from Cain, the son of Adam and Eve who murdered his brother and was forever afterwards marked as the worst kind of sinner. These beliefs were sinful and wrong from the beginning, and the church should repent of any racist teaching and preaching in our past or present. Many who work hard for a living get caught up thinking that those who do not are just lazy good-for-nothings who should be judged harshly when all is said and done, just like the weeds. Those who value education and higher learning are often considered elites who look down on those without degrees or titles to their names, while those who are salt of the earth, fighting for more common real-world values, think that the only solution to make our world and our nation better is to tear the elites from their towers by one means or another. Though this parable of our salvation seems clear enough, its application in our minds is about as clouded as anything else. People just can't help keep from making weeds out of those they disagree with who are different from them. And this problem is as bad now as it has ever been. A few years back, I had a conversation here in Ronan that made clear to me how baffling the distinctions we come up with can be. As happens quite frequently, I got a knock on our door one day at the parsonage, and it turned out to be somebody who needed help with gas money. There are many people who come to the church or parsonage asking for help, sometimes for food, sometimes for help with utilities or rent, but 9 times out of 10 they will ask for help with gas. And Jesus instructs us through the Sermon on the Mount that we are to give to all those who ask him. So I normally just call over to Arnie's Conoco here in town, have them credit the person $10 worth of gas, charge it to the church, and send the person on their way. It is not a huge amount of money, but the act is a fulfillment of the commands that Jesus places on us through the Gospels. Well, this day, the gentleman asking me for help with gas money started to inquire about our church. So I told him a few things about what we teach, preach, and believe here, taking time to explain who we are, even though I expected that we probably will not see him as part of the congregation on Sundays. As it turns out, this assumption was correct on my part, but for different reasons than I would have expected. While I had expounded on the importance our church places on doctrines of the grace, mercy, and love that God imparts on our fallen world through the Son, Jesus Christ, this man was hoping for a whole different sort of messaging. He said, "Yeah, I really like churches that preach about the law, you know, rules of righteousness, the Ten Commandments, and the judgments of God." I was kind of taken aback, and still am actually, by what this man said. Here he was on my front steps, with tattered clothes, begging for gas money, with a woman and likely grandkids sitting in their car looking equally unkempt. And he was asking for judgment, not grace. Derision, not generosity. It was hard for me to wrap my head around the situation. There I was on the front steps of our house, being interrupted from time with my family to help this man who seemed unable to help his family without my assistance. And he was praising judgment and damnation over the forgiveness and mercy offered to us in Jesus Christ? I was left wondering to myself, do you want me to judge you right now? What is going on here? I did not express this out loud, but I almost wish that I had, so that I could get more clarity on what this guy was thinking. Instead, we awkwardly wrapped up the conversation and went on with our lives. I do not think I've seen him since. Upon further reflection, I believe that this man considered himself to be the wheat and reveled in the idea of others around him being the weeds who will one day be wiped away. I don't blame him, really. It's rather gratifying to feel like you are on the winning side. But I do not condone his attempts to think that he knew who God is going to let in and who God is going to keep out. This is not our place. Judgment is reserved only for the Lord, and we end up pretending that we are God when we think that we know who will be saved and who will be lost in the end. Worse yet, when we try to cast judgment on those we consider weeds and those we consider wheat, we usually get it wrong. We miss the wheat for the weeds for the wheat, and as often as not, we miss the weeds among us for other weeds that we try to pretend are there. We miss the weeds for the weeds. This type of activity is all too common these days in noisy, conspiracy-laden conversations when everyone we know and their mother seems to be trying to argue against the other side. People go so far as to say that not only should we plug our ears to certain voices because we simply disagree with them, whether they be voices of politicians, doctors, police officers, protesters, or whoever else. It is often argued now, without an ounce of humility or civility, that we should not listen to those we disagree with because they are evil. Voices on the other side of the aisle, or on the other side of the mask, if you will, are just weeds that will one day be burned up, so we should not concern ourselves with them. Or at least, this is what many people end up arguing for these days. The good news in this parable, though, is that it is not up to us. If it were, we would all do a pretty weedy job of it. We would be like dandelions popping up all over the place at best, or thistles sending barbs into everyone's feet at worst. No, this parable is about how God is working to save people from the evils of this world, while acknowledging, sadly, that the evil one still holds sway. It is God who plants, and it is God who redeems when it comes time to harvest. The best that we can hope for in the midst of all this is to be like the wheat, to let the Word of God take root in our lives and simply grow. We do not need to concern ourselves with the work of sowing, reaping, or judging. That is all the work of our Creator. Instead, we are planted in this world to grow with the Word of Christ dwelling in us richly, leading us to blossom one day in the kingdom of God. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
I hope that you've enjoyed this week's sermon podcast. If you would like to hear more, read my blog, or get a copy of my book called The Church Unknown, go to www.revsethnelson.com. If you feel called to support our ministry, I invite you to go to our church's website at flcronan.org and click on the Offerings tab. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.